Well, good morning. Today, Christians around the world gather to celebrate God's presence among us, and we here at West End United Methodist celebrate with them all. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending. Folks who are here on a regular basis will be looking for faces they don't know to extend the hand of welcome and extend our hope that you will make a home here with us. Of course, one way to do that is by looking in your bulletin insert and finding out many of the things that God is doing in and through this congregation. You can get involved in those, and I'm going to list a few in the announcements, but remember, in that bulletin insert, you'll find lots of opportunities, and we hope you'll take advantage of them. First of all, I want you to mark your calendars for October 18th at 4:30. We will be celebrating Andrew Reisinger's 20 years of service here among us with a recital by Andrew and a reception for Andrew that afternoon. I know you'll want to be here. I know you'll want to help celebrate his leadership among us. So that's 4:30, October 18th. Come and celebrate with us. This afternoon, our Habitat dedication is at 2 p.m. If you do plan to attend the dedication of the Habitat House, please park at Haynes Middle School on West Trinity Lane. That will be your best chance to find parking. Also, quick announcement that the Martin Methodist Piano recital that was scheduled for this afternoon has been moved to November 8th at 4:30. So the recital this afternoon has been moved to November 8th at 4:30. That is because of the memorial service from Margie Howell that will take place at 3 this afternoon. Also, if you plan to come to that memorial service or the visitation prior to it, if you're a church member, it might be helpful if you parked in the Caterpillar building. We have lots of parking there available, and we want to leave as much parking as possible for those who will be coming to the service who may not know to park there. I'm already parked there, so if you would like to enter off of West End into Caterpillar parking, it's an easy walk across the street and the parking lot. Also, at 2 p.m. this afternoon, there is a conversation with our district superintendent, Harriet Bryan, in room 322. This is for her to hear the stories of LGBTQ persons who have been excluded from church or otherwise harmed or hurt by churches in the past. This is a part of the just resolution process that we're going through here in our district and our conference. So if you would care to come and talk to Harriet about that, that's 2 p.m. this afternoon in room 322. And finally, I would like to introduce to you Ingrid McIntyre. Ingrid is a longtime friend of me and my family, and also a friend of West End United Methodist Church. And I'll let her tell you what she has to say.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me here this morning. My name is Ingrid McIntyre, and I am part of the clergy group in the Tennessee Conference of the Methodist Church. I've been appointed to the Streets of Nashville, which is very exciting, I think, for our conference, and I'm very thankful for our conference. I do that through work through Open Table Nashville, which is a homeless advocacy group. We disrupt cycles of poverty, journey with the marginalized, and provide education about issues of homelessness. So we work in collaboration with about 30 other resource providers in Nashville and have been able to house over 1,800 people in the past 2 years in permanent supportive housing. And I just want to thank all of you here at West End, because I don't really have a congregation, or I do, but they're dispersed out in the streets of Nashville. You all help pay my salary, so I want to say thank you for that. You also help and are going to help through the communion offering today to help support one of our outreach workers that's out on the street of Nashville that works with folks to really provide housing to break these cycles, right? To break the cycles of poverty that people live with every day. So I just wanted to say thank you for your support, and also invite you anytime you are ready and willing to jump in and be in ministry with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ingrid. Now, Ingrid's going to slip out. She worshiped with us at first service, and she's going to slip out and go to our sister congregation, Belmont United Methodist Church, to help lead them in this common effort that we all share. Sometimes when you're vacuuming or washing the dishes or dusting or maybe gardening or digging a hole in the backyard, do you ever wonder, where is God in all this? Well, believe me, if we do our job right on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter how ordinary the task, you will recognize that God is already there.
Thank you. Come.
Let us celebrate at the table of Jesus Christ.
Come quickly.
Let us bring abundant bread of Jesus to the table.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to be in peace with God and one another. Now let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now let us join together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the New Testament. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he spoke to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is most excellent. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little, you have made them for a while a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. It is fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this is the reason Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we have a lot to celebrate this morning, and I'm going to focus on three things in particular. First of all, this year is the 75th year that people have been worshiping in this sanctuary. It was finished and dedicated, and worship was first held here 75 years ago in 1940. For over 10 years, from 1929, the year of the stock market crash, the week of the stock market crash, the education building opened. And so for 10 years, this congregation took classes there, walked across the street to what was then called Neely Chapel, worshiped there, and then returned here. In 1940, this building was opened for worship. The hymn we sang at the beginning was written by the senior pastor at the time, Costin Harrell. Now, if you look around the church, you'll see photographs from those early days. You'll see the text of that hymn, and you'll see photographs, especially in McWhirter Hall. Let me encourage you to walk around McWhirter Hall at some time during these next few weeks and take a look, because this sanctuary looked really different when it first opened. For example, there was no stained glass. There were no organ pipes. There was not a pulpit and lectern on either side of the chancel. There was simply a pulpit in the middle of the chancel. Even so, with the stones present and the structure present, it was absolutely transcendent. Now, add in the stained glass, add in the organ pipes, add in these beautiful pulpit, lectern, all of the pieces up here. Add in what we do every Sunday, the incredible music, and I'll tell you what, we got this transcendent thing down. We understand that God is high and lifted up. And that's a good thing. That is a very good thing. But the part we have to work at is the intimacy part. The reaching out and shaking the hand of someone we don't know, as I encourage you every single week to do. That's a part of the intimacy that we need to fill this sanctuary. The extending of a hand for a piece of bread placed by another hand, or a cup passing from hand to hand in Holy Communion, another act of deep intimacy. A story told here and there. A song that touches the heart. Acts of intimacy. Because you see, for us to be complete in our worship and complete in our discipleship, we need the transcendence of which this building speaks. And I'm grateful for it. And we also need the intimacy that we each can bring to this encounter with God and each other. And I am grateful for that as well. Now, that balance of transcendence and intimacy is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is speaking to here. He begins by describing Christ as that creative Word of God present at the very creation, whose Word still sustains everything that is. So that creation is ongoing. It didn't stop at some point. That creation is ongoing, and Jesus has been part of it from the very beginning. And so in that, he has a lot in common with the Gospel of John, that beautiful opening hymn. In the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Hebrews gets that. But then as you read on, after he's taken care of all those people who apparently are a little bit overly concerned about angels, he talks about Jesus coming to us as one of us, putting on that ragged, tattered, hand-me-down coat of our humanness, that thrift store purchase of our humanness, and wearing it the way we wear it in every way. Or perhaps another image might be Dolly Parton's coat of many colors, made from scraps, all the scraps of human experience, all pieced together. And the children tried to shame her because of it, but she refused to be shamed because it was a gift from her mother. The writer of Hebrews deals with that too, because there are apparently some folks who are trying to shame the followers of Jesus because they don't conform to the world and its values. The writer of Hebrews is saying that God took on human form. This ragged, tattered coat of our humanness is not a thing to be ashamed about. No, it is a mark of honor. The fact that all the scraps of our human experience got pieced together in that coat of many colors that his mother made for him in our humanness is not something to be ashamed of. It is a mark of honor. Because you see, the Christian is not to be like others. In following the example of Jesus, the one who refused to arm himself against those who called him their enemy, there was a time when Christians did not call to arm themselves, but refused to arm themselves, if you can believe that. When one of his followers sliced off the ear of a slave, Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, slice a few more." He tells him to stop. And he puts the ear back on. And is a force of healing. Even a humiliating death of torture by crucifixion is not something to be ashamed of. Not because Jesus flew off the cross and slaughtered all the soldiers there, but because instead he spoke words of forgiveness for the very people who drove spikes through his wrist. That is not something to be ashamed of, followers of Jesus. That is something that honors God. And Hebrews is pretty clear about that. Yes, Jesus is the one who was that spoken word of God, creating at the beginning and creating still. And Jesus is that one who took on these tatters, took on that coat of many colors of our humanness, and experienced literally everything we can experience, even death, without returning the violence that was inflicted upon him. So in that ancient culture, and in ours, which trusted redemptive violence over redemptive love, Jesus chose redemptive love. In that ancient culture that chose fear over courageous love, Jesus chose courageous love. In that ancient culture that chose hate for all those who are different, Jesus chose love for all who are different. For all. All means all. And that's nothing to be ashamed of, says the writer of Hebrews. Because Jesus was the pioneer who did it first. He was the one who perfected our faith, which means completed our faith, by doing what he did. And he's the example that we follow. That's where we get the idea that we should see God as transcendent, but also participate in the intimacies of God's love. Theologians later would distill that down to fully human and fully divine. But the writer of Hebrews, along with the Gospels, fleshes that out. The second thing we are going to be celebrating today is World Communion Sunday. See all these people on my stole from all over the world. When you're invited for communion, there are going to be breads up here from literally all over the world. And we will be sharing with people who today and sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, sometimes on another schedule, gather around Christ's table, not our table, Christ's table. And they break challah, or they break corn tortillas, or they break pita bread. And they repeat the words, "This is me given for you, my body given for you." And they will pass the cup, and sometimes it'll have wine, and sometimes it'll have juice, and they'll repeat the words, "This is me poured out for you, my blood poured out for you," just like we do. And we extend that to everyone, to anyone who will come. Because you see, we believe that in ordinary bread, and it doesn't matter what kind of bread, and it doesn't matter whether it's juice or whether it's wine, but in the ordinary fruit of the vine and the ordinary fruit of the earth, we believe we experience the presence of Christ right here in the congregation. Just like in ordinary stone, we see Christ's transcendence. In ordinary glass, pieced together, we see Christ's transcendence. In the human touch, we feel Christ's touch. We'll have a different liturgy during that time, marking this particular day. Different prayers that will relate us to people around the world who are doing this very same thing. We may not agree on what it means. We may not agree on how to do it exactly. But one thing we do agree on, and that is in the most ordinary experience of life, eating and drinking, Christ is present. And not just at this table, but when we do it at this table, it helps us to recognize every time we break bread out there in a restaurant, in a kitchen, on the street, sharing with someone who needs it, Christ is present in the congregation, right here, in the most ordinary of things. And so when you come to the table today, and I hope you will because you'll all be invited, when you come to the table, realize that there are no borders to God's love. Before there were doctors without borders and reporters without borders, there were Christians without borders. And around the world today, we celebrate this feast of Christ's welcome. The third thing we're just kind of leaning into, and that is our faithful giving campaign. And that you'll hear more about through October. Our theme this year is a covenant of giving, the joy before us. A covenant is an agreement between two people or two groups of people. And this recognizes the covenant that we have with God and the fact that God has already done God's part. God has done everything to offer what God has to offer to us, including becoming one of us and experiencing everything that we could possibly experience and loving us through it. And like a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather waiting for those kids to get home for Thanksgiving dinner or for Christmas dinner or whatever dinner your family gathers for, God has been sitting there yearning for us to come to the table and to bring whatever we have. So when we bring our pledges or when we bring our money or when we bring our checks or our envelopes, they're the most ordinary things in the world. And they are the result of what we do out in the world, in our ordinary lives. But you see, what God does, just like with the bread and the cup, what God does with all of those gifts is that God takes those gifts, those ordinary gifts, coming from our ordinary work and lives, and transforms them into food for people who are hungry and houses for people who have no homes. We are having a dedication for one today, this afternoon. And clothing for people who would go cold in this cold, rainy weather. And places where people are welcomed to come and to study about God's love who may have been excluded or pushed away from other places. Places where people can come and sing and pray and eat together. And God takes the most ordinary things of our lives and makes them holy. And in the process, I'm going to suggest to you, makes us holy. Set apart to be those followers of Jesus that we were meant to be. And so, here you have it. Everything we need, stone, glass, metal, our voices, our hands to reach out and touch, bread of various kinds, the cup, what we brought that we can give, all of it blessed by the presence of a Christ who was there at the beginning and is still here with us, creating, sustaining through his word. The Christ who put on this ragged, tattered humanity of ours, this coat of many colors, and refused to be ashamed to say that love overcomes everything, even death. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. If you are a college student, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and a time for fellowship and faith discussions in room 315, also known as the Fireplace Lounge. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a staff member to contact you about your comment, please check the box on the card and note your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please note if these requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find at the end of the pew near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service. Today we extend our sympathy to Pam Rice and her family who are mourning the death of her mother, Patsy Wren Clapp, who died Friday, September 25th in Kingsport, Tennessee. Services were held there on Tuesday, September 29th. We also continue to remember in our prayers and extend our sympathy to John Howell in the death of his wife, Reverend Margaret H. Howell, who died Friday, September the 25th. Margie's memorial service will be held this afternoon at 3 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Visitation is in Reed Hall and will precede the service beginning at 1 p.m. We also extend our sympathy to the family of Ruby Ellen Caudill Setzer, who died on Monday, September the 28th, at the age of 102. Graveside services will be held Monday, October the 5th, at the Lexington Cemetery in Lexington, Kentucky. Among her survivors is her daughter, West End member Ann Robbins. Freely, freely we have received. Freely, freely may we give back to God. Out of our blessings, may we be blessings to others.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
In the silence of the morning, as the new day dawned around the world, God's people began to gather for worship. Amid the sounds of drums or pipes, strings or organs. And now we, too, join in the worldwide chorus of those who call upon the name of the Lord. On this World Communion Sunday, we remember especially that the scriptures are fulfilled as people come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit at the table of the kingdom of God. And so, with all your people on earth and all the saints of all times and places, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O Christ, for coming as a little child to live baptized in the muck of the world, embodying God's desire to bless all people. You spoke peace to divisions. You spoke peace to the violence in a hurting world. When threatened with the terror of crucifixion, you did not keep silent, but stood up in resurrection new life. We remember when you retold an ancient story in which broken bread becomes your body, in which wine becomes the cup of life. When you turned bread of human affliction into manna from heaven and the bitter dregs of sin into the cup of joyful celebration. And so we await your coming among us. In the fullness of your sovereign glory, we proclaim the mystery of faith. And now pray with me that ordinary bread and ordinary juice will become holy. Praised be to you, Holy Spirit, blowing through time to enliven your people, the church, to live as Christ's body. In God's ministry of repairing our broken world, come, hover over us, and work within us now in the breaking of bread and the celebration of this cup, that our eyes may be opened to recognize Christ among us and in all who share this feast. Knit us more closely together in the fellowship of your sovereign way. We offer ourselves, our lives, and our resources to be your hands reaching into the world with your unfathomable compassion. And we pray in the name of Christ who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom, and power, and the glory forever. Amen. The bread on our table are symbols of many different peoples and cultures. Challah bread is used in Shabbat meals. It represents the connection between us and God and the links of our connection with each other. Corn tortillas. They are identified as a luxury item in parts of Latin America. It represents the goal of eradicating poverty. Pita bread. It's cooked at extremely high temperatures. It represents that when we experience the high temperatures of life, may we remember God's compassion and unconditional love. Chapat bread. It's from East Africa, where they experience poverty and famine in this very moment. It represents the opportunity that all will have enough, and that one day we will eradicate hunger. Naan bread. This bread is commonly eaten in India, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan. It represents the unity and the possible unity between cultures and peoples. May we all work for peace. The feast has been set before us. In our United Methodist tradition, all are welcome at the table. If you are seeking a new or renewed relationship with Jesus Christ and your neighbor, you're welcome here. Today's communion offering will be for Open Table Nashville. You met Ingrid this morning. Open Table is about sharing those intimate moments with our friends who experience poverty and homelessness. Please note the directions in your bulletin for taking communion. You'll come by way of the center aisle, kneel, opening your hands to receive the elements. Stay as long as you would like. When you're finished, leave by way of the side aisles. If you'd like to take communion in your pew, catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be happy to serve you there. The feast is prepared.
Thank you.
you will stand as you are able and turn to you your bulletin, the prayer after receiving. Gracious God, you have made us one with all of your people in heaven and earth.
You have fed us with bread and wine, and renewed us for our service. May this meal strengthen us.
Glorify you in all things. Amen. Thank you.
In the spirit of World Communion Sunday, it might interest you to know that we sing the first verse of that hymn each month when we have communion at Richland Place for those who can't come to us, so we go to them. Thought you might like to know that. Now peace be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.